John chapter 1. If you have the King James, turn there. If you don't have King James, look right up here and let's all stand together. We're going to read these verses together. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Stand together with me just in honor of the Word of God. Amen. Let's read it together out loud. If you have it, like I said, if you got King James in your hand, read it what's in your hand. If not, look up here. We're going to read it together out loud in the King James. Let's read it. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Alan. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to focus today. The highlight of my message is going to be to zone. There's so much in those first 17 verses. Amen. There's about 17 sermons or more just in those verses alone. But I want to focus in primarily today on verse 14. Verse 14, and let's read it again together if you want to look up here and read it out loud with me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in particular in that verse, just the first part, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's going to be our focus. How many of you know, if you've ever spoken or preached, those of you that have ever preached or taught, opening the Bible is like opening a can of worms. And there's just so much to be said. But we're going to focus in on just the first part of verse 14 alone. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. This is the idea called incarnation. How many of you ever heard of incarnation, right? That's a Christian word. How many of you know in the church we should get real familiar with Christian words? Don't let them be off-putting to you. This is our heritage. Amen. This is our life. When we say incarnation, you should know exactly what we're saying. It means word made flesh. Like carne asada. You go to Gringos, you get carne asada. Carne is meat. So we say flesh. It's meat. It's body. It's the Word made flesh, the incarnation. This is when Jesus Christ came to earth and he was made flesh. As one man described it, it's the outrageous paradox of the Creator of the ends of the earth coming to us in diapers. I like that. The Creator of the ends of the earth, ponder it for a moment, coming to us in diapers. Imagine that. You go to Niagara Falls, you go to the Grand Canyon, you see these amazing works of God in creation, and you go, the one who created that, who carved that out, who scooped that out, who created the waterfalls, he came to us in diapers. Imagine that. That's the incarnation. You know, it's like electricity. We don't have to fully comprehend how electricity works in order to appreciate its benefits and practically function in its reality. Amen? Same with air conditioning. I love air conditioning. Do you love air conditioning? I really do love air conditioning. One time I worked for an air conditioning company, and you know, when I first hired on, I knew nothing about it. And they gave me this big, thick refrigeration book. And I still, after reading it, I knew nothing about it. It's just so dry and boring as a subject. But I can't imagine life without air conditioning. I can't imagine life without electricity. I can't imagine life without Jesus. And I don't understand all those things. I don't understand fully the creator of the universe coming to us as a baby, but I appreciate it. And I take full advantage of the fact that he was the Word made flesh. Amen? Amen. Well, you know, in the incarnation, I want you to ponder for a moment that one third of the Godhead left heaven. Think about it. That's radical. God, for all of eternity past, long before there was this thing called time, long before this thing called earth or man or fish or sea or creatures or giraffes or anything, God existed for all of eternity as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity. Trinity means three in one. And one day, God said, let's create time. Let's create man to give ourselves to love. And the Bible says that the moment the idea of man came into being, from the creation, the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain. God knew in his heart, if we would create man with a free will, someone's going to have to die because man's going to blow it. Aren't you glad he knew from the beginning? And God, at some point, in the midst of time, in the Bible describes it, in the fullness of time, he sent his Son as a baby. Imagine that. Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, left heaven. Two-thirds of the Trinity was left there without one-third being there. Amazing, isn't it? A while later, Jesus, as an adult, got water baptized. You remember? He came to the Jordan River and John baptized him. You know, at that moment, another third of the Godhead left heaven. The Holy Spirit. God the Father was left all alone there. I wonder what that would have been like. Because Jesus had come to earth. He was the Word, the Son. The Holy Spirit came to earth too. The Bible says that he descended like a dove. And John also described it this way. He said, he who is sent by God received the Spirit without measure. That means the whole thing fell on Jesus. All of the Holy Ghost. He got it all. He got it all. By the way, that story, that part of the story of Jesus at the Jordan River being baptized is the clearest picture you can point to in the Bible of the Trinity. Because in that incident, we have heavens opened. Mark 1:10 says he ripped open the heavens. I'll talk about that in just a moment. The Father's voice spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. Who was he talking about? Jesus, the Word made flesh. And then at that moment, the Holy Spirit came and fell on Jesus. He came upon him in all his fullness. The Father spoke from heaven. Jesus was man being baptized. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. The whole Trinity right there. Whoa, what an amazing moment in history when they all three came together. Mark 1:10 says this, when the Father spoke from heaven, he tore, I think it's in the King James, it says the heavens were torn open in that moment. Now, I don't understand that fully. Excuse me, it's not the King James, it's the New International Version. The New International Version says the heavens were torn open when the Father spoke that word of affirmation to Jesus. What was happening in that moment? Warfare in the heavenlies above this whole scene. The demons, the spirits of darkness that had ruled the planet for thousands of years were being pulled back as the Holy Spirit came like the day of Pentecost and he poured himself out on Jesus so that Jesus could do what? Wreck all of the works of hell. And now on Saturday, when Jesus showed up in the synagogue, the demonic, the weird people that sat in the back of church that always acted weird and their eyes twittered and they kind of, you know, people would kind of talk about them in church. I don't know what's wrong with them, but just give them some space. When Jesus showed up now, those demons came out. No wonder the heavens were torn. They were fighting. They were resisting the Holy Ghost being poured out on Jesus, because they knew the power that would come and destroy Satan's works. At Calvary, the Holy Spirit left Jesus in that moment when he cried out, my God, Why have you forsaken me? He felt the Spirit of God leave him. The Bible says when Jesus died, in Romans 8 it says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So the Holy Spirit came back to his body, raised him from the dead at the resurrection. Aren't you glad? He didn't stay gone long, did he? Jesus then ministers to his believers for about 40 days, and then he ascends to heaven. At the ascension, Jesus and the Holy Ghost went back to heaven. Now the Trinity was back together, just like before. Imagine that. Jesus in flesh, the Holy Spirit, he took him back to heaven. How do I know he took him back to heaven? Because the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out from the Father. Wow, all this going back and forth. This reminds me of Jacob's ladder, right? Up and down the ladder. Jacob's ladder was a prophetic picture of what would be someday when Jesus came to earth. Christmas is just the beginning, amen? Don't get stuck on Christmas. Man, it was just the beginning. When Jesus got water baptized, man, that started to shake some things up. The Holy Spirit came down. Then at Calvary, he went up. Went away from Jesus. Then he came back down, raised him from the dead. Then they both went up together. And then a day of Pentecost. Listen, don't ever get intimidated by Pentecost. Pentecost is not the length of your hair or the depth of your makeup, ladies. The day Pentecost was a word that meant 50, like the Pentagon. Pentagon means five. Pentecost meant 50 days after the giving of the law. This was an agricultural celebration in the Jewish culture. Pentecost. And it just happened to fall on that day that the Holy Spirit was poured out, amen, on the church. And the world would never be the same. The world would never be the same. He now fills the earth. It's been like it's a holy invasion, Jane. It's a holy invasion. The earth has never been the same. I know we say that about Christmas. The earth has never been the same since the baby came to earth. And that's true. But really, it's since the day of Pentecost. Because Jesus was just he was the marker. He was the standard. He was the example of what was to be once the church got lit up by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now that the Holy Spirit has come on us, we have become like him, wrecking hell day and night. Amen. That's our job, in case you didn't know your job description. Well, it says there, the Word became flesh. I want to ponder this idea of what it means for the Word to become flesh. Here's another idea about the Word becoming flesh. You could say it this way. The Word, the law of Moses, because that is the Word too, isn't it? That's the Old Testament word. The law became flesh in Jesus. In other words, Jesus came to fulfill every rule, every law, every description that was written of holiness in the Old Testament. He came and fulfilled. In fact, at his water baptism, he said this to John. He turned to him and said, "Allow it to be so for now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus came, part of his key mission. I said a week or two ago that his mission was he came to die. Yes, that's part of it too. But he also came to fulfill. He came to become the Word in flesh. I use this description. You know, when I was little, there'd be times when, you know, a little child, when they're trying to wrestle maybe with a Coke bottle or something, they're just trying to make something work and they can't seem to get it right. And they bring it to their father and their dad goes, "Here, let daddy do it. Here, let daddy do it." See, that's in a sense what happened when Jesus came to earth. God watched the people of Israel for 1,500 years under the law of Moses and they couldn't get it right. God said, "You'll have no other gods before me on the mountain." And before Moses got halfway down the mountain, they're already worshiping a golden calf. They just couldn't get it right. So Jesus comes to earth and he becomes the Word made flesh. Here, let daddy do it. Let daddy fulfill the law of Moses. Let daddy work out in Jesus the Word. In a sense, God doesn't look at us and say, "Be righteous." He bees it for us. Right? He sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do. Romans 8 and verse 3, the last part of it says, what the law was powerless to do. The law of Moses couldn't make anybody holy because nobody could keep it. What the law was powerless to do, God did. I love that in the New International Version. What the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his son. God said, "Here, let me be righteous for you." And Jesus lived for 33 years on the earth, completely righteous. He was the Word made flesh. By the way, because he was made flesh, we the flesh can become the Word. Aren't you glad? Because the Word was made flesh, we can be made the Word. Amen? We can conform now to his laws, to his holiness, simply because he gave us the power by becoming the righteousness of God for us. Amen? We've been promoting a little book lately on the book table. I'm sure we're sold out by now, the little confession book. I really want to encourage you in the new year to make it a goal to steer your life with the Word. Let the Word become flesh in your life. Amen? Speak the Word. Every area of your life that seems weak, unproductive, still unyielded, unfruitful, let that be the area where you speak the Word the most over your life. And the Word, you'll watch it. It will become flesh. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. That's what he told Mary and Martha when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. If you can apply the Word in those areas of your life that are dead, unproductive, seemingly unfruitful completely, barren, in those places, speak the Word. Don't speak the problem. Speak the Word. Well, the second part of John 1:14 says, the first part is the Word became flesh. The second part is he dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. I want to talk just a brief bit about him dwelling among us. It's beautiful because in the Greek language, when it says there dwelt, if you look at that word in the original Greek language that the Bible was written in, because that's a King James word, dwelt. How many of you have used that word in your vocabulary this week? I dwelt over in Alvin. I dwelt at McDonald's for lunch. No, we don't use that word. But in the original language the Bible was written, Greek, that word dwelt is actually the word from which we get tabernacle. Tabernacle. In fact, some of your translations, if you happen to have the Holman Christian Study Bible, which I doubt any of you have, but that's one of the translations that actually translate it, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Or the Young's Literal Translation. Does anybody by chance have the Young's Literal Translation in their lap today? You do? No, I'm talking about with you, in your hands. Okay. Yeah, the Young's Literal Translation also says it the same way. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. What is tabernacle? Tabernacle in the Old Testament was a tent. You remember when Israel left Egypt and for 40 years they wandered in the desert? It wasn't meant to be 40 years, by the way. It was supposed to be a lot shorter. But during that time, God says, I'll tell you what, make me a house, make me a tent, and I will dwell among you. And he uses the word tabernacle. I will tabernacle among you. I will live in this tent in your midst. So that's actually the idea here. When it says the Word became flesh, he tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent in our life, if you will. It's a tent is also that tabernacle represents a place of worship. A place of worship. In the Old Testament, again, in the picture of Israel, when they had, as long as God was in their camp, when the tent was there and the presence of God was there, what did they have as part of the benefits package? I mean, everybody's aware of benefits packages nowadays. When you hire in with a company, you want to look at because your benefits can be as valuable as money, right? This is as good or better than your hourly pay. Well, God's benefits to Israel were this: protection. Protection. Protection from what? Protection from the elements. They were walking in the desert, reminds you. And so by day, he was the pillar of cloud. He protected them from the elements. He protected them from their enemies. Anytime anybody came against Israel during those 40 years when they were wandering in the desert, God protected them against their enemies. Secondly, he was provision. They would get out in the middle of, you know, nowhere, and all of a sudden they go, hey, we got no water. God'd say, it's cool. Rock. Pew, you know, water. Or rain, you know, bread or birds or whatever. You know, you want meat tonight? Birds. Fall in the camp. Wherever God was, when God was in their midst, provision was in their midst. Amen? And thirdly, he was wisdom in all matters. He was wisdom in all matters. So he gave them protection. He gave them provision. He gave them wisdom in all matters. You know, when Jesus walked the earth those 3 years with his disciples, he provided the same thing. Just like John says here, he was the Word made flesh and he tabernacled among them. So the disciples never lacked for food, never lacked for provision. They never lacked for protection because Jesus could give any enemy the slip. I love it. Time and time again, they'd be ready to stone him, drag him, throw him off the cliff, and he would give him the slip. Because when the Holy Spirit's on you, he gives you the slip. Amen. That oil of the Holy Ghost gives you the power to elude your enemies and be protected. And Jesus gave him that same kind of protection. In fact, he said it right before he went back to the Father. He said, while I was with them, I protected them. Amen. And the disciples were sad when Jesus said, I'm going away, because they thought, man, this great sense of peace and provision and sheltering that we've enjoyed during these 3 years, it's about to leave us. And Jesus said, no, no worries, no worries. That Holy Spirit that you have felt while I've tabernacled among you is now going to be in you. John 14:17. That which has been with you through me, through Jesus' presence, is now going to be in you. Amen. And that's why I say, man, let's back off on Pentecost one iota. Having the Holy Ghost in us is so amazing. He is the tabernacle in us. He is the tent, the presence of God in us. He is protection. He is provision. He is wisdom beyond our mind. And so Jesus promised them that he's not only Emmanuel, God with us, he's going to be God in us. The Word becomes flesh. I want to just highlight these two phrases once again as we wrap up today. The Word is made flesh. We talked about it. The Holy Spirit reminded us of it during worship. It's all about surrender. How does the Word become flesh in your life? Surrender. You got to say yes. You got to say yes. I like what someone said this week. They said, you know, the problem with missing church is the more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you neglect the Bible, you know, however you word that same phrase that I just said about the Bible. That doesn't work out exactly, but you get the point. The less you read your Bible, the less you will want to read your Bible, put it that way. Listen, it's a discipline, folks. Yeah, the word of the Lord for us, at least one of the words of the Lord going into 2022, is disciples. Disciples are all about discipline. It's not easy to stay up with this following Jesus thing, but it involves discipline. Amen. It involves being in the house of God, because that's where the presence of God is. That's where the people of God are. That's where you can receive a word that will change your life forever. That's where you can receive the anointing for breakthrough. Amen. That's where you can receive encouragement, joy. You walk out of here with more than you realize week after week. Do you know that? Amen. You don't understand. Our minds can't comprehend. When we come together spirit to spirit, connected in the body of Christ, you walk out of here with more than you can ever imagine. So let the Word in the new year, let the Word become flesh. That involves surrender. This book is meant to become your flesh. People say things like, well, I'm not perfect. You're called to be perfect. You know, Jesus in his perfection did not do that as God. Now, his spirit was God. His human spirit was divine. He came from the Father. This is the mystery. I can't explain it fully. If we could explain God fully, he wouldn't be God, right? He'd be some invention of man. But Jesus did what he did in living out holiness in the earth. He did it by the Spirit. He didn't do it as God. I'll say that again. He did it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So we should not talk like, oh, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Like that's an excuse to continue in the flesh. Like that's an excuse to lose your temper or say things you shouldn't or be unkind or be impatient. No, no, no. You're called to be the Word made flesh. And so when you feel it the least, you should be speaking to your soul, your mind, your body, and say, shut up, shut up. Love is patient. I don't feel patient, but love is patient. That's who I am. That's who I am. Amen. We're created. The Bible says we're created in the image of our Father. When you got born again, I trust you're born again. When you got born again, you became different on the inside. You took on his nature, amen? And now it's time to let that nature become flesh, become manifest, amen? Your family will tell us if you're letting it happen or not. They'll tell us the truth. Kids know, wives know, you can't bluff them, amen? The Word made flesh. Secondly, he's gonna dwell among us. God wants to dwell in our lives. He wants to dwell among us. What does that mean? It means he wants to live with you day in and day out. He didn't come to live inside of you to only be ignited or given attention to on Sundays. He wants your attention every day of the week. Hey, when you're choosing which restaurant you're going to go to for lunch, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you to the good place. How many of you know the abundant life starts with being led by the Holy Spirit? Amen. It really does. He will keep you out of trouble. He'll keep you from making bad decisions, bad car choices, bad home choices. How many of you ever bought a bad home? Oh, don't raise your hand. I've never. I can say truly, every home we've bought, we've been led by the Holy Ghost. That's a biggie. You don't want to just jump out there and buy what you can afford. Ask the Holy Spirit. He wants to tabernacle in the midst of us. Again, not to just lie dormant inside of us. He's inside of you. Yes, technically he's in you this morning, but he wants to be active in you. He wants to be a part of your decisions day in and day out. What do I do with this free time? You know, sometimes I feel this anxiety come over me. Sometimes I'm like, what do I do right now, man? I could read, I could write, I could call somebody, I could text somebody, I could surf the internet, whatever. I could learn something off Wikipedia. But you know what? It's good to just stop and say, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to be doing right now? Because quite honest, we don't know. We don't know. As sheep, we think we know. But we really need to trust him. He wants to lead you. He wants to be a part of every day of your life. He will lead you in green pastures. That's how good he is. Listen, God's not just going to put you in, you know, in a boring or, you know, a fiery place all day long. He knows how to give you rest. He's better to you than you are to yourself. So trust him in 2022. Amen? Trust him. Let him be the God who tabernacles among you. And as you do that, as you are led by him, everywhere you go, it will be, when you get around lost people who don't know Jesus, it'll be as if God just walked in the room to them. Because that's truly what happens. And they'll go, oh, all that stress, all that anxiety I've been feeling, it's gone. What happened? Oh, so-and-so came around. Wow, what's inside of you? What is it that's different about you? All of a sudden, I feel peace in the room. I feel peace that just entered the room. What is that? God tabernacling in you, coming next to them, like Jesus when he walked the earth. His disciples, remember, these guys weren't born again yet. They were as good as heathen. They were Jews, but they weren't born again yet. They were God's chosen race, yes, but they were still angry, selfish, you know, clamoring for the top position among each other. And Jesus, when he would come, he was God's presence right there in their midst. He was peace, protection, wisdom. And when you walk into the room, when you walk into the restaurant, people feel that. They feel God among them, Emmanuel. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to awaken that more this year. And it comes from just, I love the illustration Bill Johnson uses. He says, you know, if the Holy Spirit was truly like a dove on our shoulder, imagine how you would behave with a dove on your shoulder. You know how skittish doves are? You know how quick to, you know, fly off if things get shaken up too much around them? He said, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. It's not that he's going to get offended and just fly off, but no, he's gentle. He will live in your spirit. He'll live with you your whole life and not demand one thing from you. But he's waiting for your surrender. He's waiting. He's gentle. And if you'll listen, if you'll lean on him and go, what next? Where to? What do we do? Which way do we go? He'll lead you. It's a quiet voice. Elijah describes it like a still small voice. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit. And God wants to dwell among us. Amen? This is the word of the Lord to you today, saints. He is the Word made flesh, and he wants to dwell among you. He wants to be a part of every aspect of your life, every part. Amen? He makes life good, doesn't he? He makes our lives rich. I the other day, I was just thinking back on my life, and Terry and I have had 37 wonderful years together. And, you know, I think, man, the amazing things God has done. And we didn't get it right. Trust me. If you read my book, we didn't get it all right. There's lots of bumps and bruises and errors and speed bumps and, you know, rocky places. We didn't get it all right. But whenever we followed the Holy Ghost in those different seasons in our life, man, we did amazing things. We made amazing decisions, not because of us being so smart, because he is. Amen? And he is God among us, and he has led us to where we are today. When we get to heaven, all the imperfections will be erased. The book will open, and it'll say, wow, 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 wow. The angels will be going, wow, because they're seeing the times that we obeyed the Spirit. It's amazing. John described it this way. He said, if all the things Jesus did were written down. Even the world couldn't contain the books. Scholars have said, I mentioned this to you before, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have covered technically about 50 days of Jesus' life in his 3 years of ministry. 50 days, about a month and a half. That's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John cover as far as Jesus doing things. And you know, when you follow the Holy Spirit, your life looks like that too. Now, they may not be, you know, knocking on your door with the paparazzi and, you know, Fox News to do an interview on, wow, how amazing you've been lately. But because the kingdom comes without notice, amen? The kingdom comes under the radar. But it's just as amazing, amen? Stand together with me. The Christmas story is, it should amaze us every year. I hope you never outgrow the amazing, mind-boggling idea of the incarnation. It is truly astounding, amen? And every day, it's not just meant to be on December 25th. It's meant to be every day of our life. The Word made flesh in us, amen? And our flesh conforming to this Word in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you're here in us. You're with us. You are God with us. And that you came, Lord, not just to show off. You didn't come just to show us how great you are, but you came to provide greatness for us as well. You came to give us an abundant life, and we receive it today in you, Lord. We turn our hearts to that place of surrender, to let the Word become flesh in us. We turn our hearts to that place of surrender so that God may dwell and tabernacle in us. We turn our decision-making habits towards you, Father, and say, God, not my will, but yours be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God bless you today. If there's anybody here that has not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're not surrendered your life to Jesus, we're going to stick around, Terry and I, at the end of the service and just be here. If you have any questions about giving Jesus your whole life, you want to surrender your life to God today, we'll be here to pray with you to do that. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll see you next year. That sounds like a long ways off.